Hello, welcome to Home Baking. This podcast is all about adventures in home baking through ingredients, history and culture. Today's episode we are going to be talking about crackers and crisp breads, and also a little catch up about some things that I've been eating lately. So I'm very excited to get started. And by the way, this cracker as well is like endlessly adaptable. I'm going to give you so many different things that you could do with it. So many different suggestions. Let's go. Looking back at previous episodes, something that I've noticed is that when I put loads and loads of effort into something, it doesn't necessarily correlate to like a higher number of listens, which is really interesting. And I feel like a lot of us are, yes, we might want to sometimes challenge ourselves, but sometimes we want to do slightly easier bakes, and that's good. That's okay. So I wanted to give myself a little bit of a break actually this time and do something that I knew was going to be easier, which is crackers. Because I've made them quite a lot before, I knew how easy they were and I knew how adaptable they are, which is wonderful because it means that you can put your own creativity into things, you can try things out. So I'm going to give you some ideas about how to do that. And first of all, let's talk briefly about pita chips. So seriously, you just buy pita breads, or I mean, obviously you could use homemade. If they're a little bit stale, so much the better as well, that's fine. Tear them up. If you want them to be more crispy, then you want to sort of tear them in half lengthways as well. If you're making kind of chunkier croutons, you can leave them as they are and just tear them up from the other side, if that makes sense, into bigger chunks, basically. And then you just spread them out on a large baking tray, spray or drizzle them with olive oil. And you might want to kind of get in there with your hands a little bit and distribute that well. Sprinkle over some salt and perhaps some spices. So things that I would recommend here, like as you may know, I have a bit of a bent towards Middle Eastern food, so and North African food. So, I mean, I really like dukkah. I really like za'atar. I think they're really, really good. I really like nigella seeds. I like cumin seeds. So all of those might be quite nice. And chili as well might be good. And then you just want to bake them for about 15 minutes to 30 minutes, depending really on how crunchy you want them and how big they are, basically. And then depending on if you spice them or not and stuff and what you're serving them with, you could knock up a really quick tahini sauce. So you can make a vegan tahini sauce by just mixing together tahini, lemon juice, water and salt, or maybe you could use a vegan yogurt as well. And to make a sort of dairy one, you can use just yogurt, lemon juice, water, salt and tahini. Perfect. So delicious. And my second idea is just making tortilla chips in the oven, which I've done many times. They are not quite as nice as freshly fried ones, I'm not going to lie to you, but obviously they're a little bit healthier, slightly less oil, and a lot easier, no deep frying. So all you do is you get your tortillas. These are the sort of bread tortillas, obviously not an omelette. You cut those up into triangles. Again, you just spread them out on a very large baking tray, lightly spray or drizzle them with oil, sprinkle over salt and any spices, put them into a 200°C, 400 Fahrenheit oven for about 10 minutes until they're nice and crispy. And then you might want to serve them with a homemade tomato salsa. So if it's me, I will just mix up some finely chopped tomatoes, maybe a bit of red onion or spring onion, some lime juice, salt, chili, pretty much good to go. Or you could do guacamole. So, you know, you get your avocado flesh and you mash that together with or mix that together with some lime juice, again, salt, chili. Some people do add dairy, but it's not traditional. Yeah, so that's kind of a very basic guacamole. So yeah, and it's just so delicious to have homemade ones. Mexican food in Britain is trash for the 99% of cases. So, and we have, I imagine you get it in loads of other places too, but we have like things like guacamole in jars and tins, which you can get in the supermarket, and they are honestly completely disgusting. So making your own is a completely different thing and very much to be recommended. So finally, this is kind of more of a proper recipe, I guess, but it's still really, really easy. With crackers, you are simply basically hydrating some flour, rolling it out and baking it. That's honestly pretty much all it is. So there's no like kneading really. There's no rising times. There's really very few pitfalls involved. And this is a very simple recipe, just using plain or all-purpose flour. You could definitely experiment by using a portion of wholemeal, might be, but it will be harder to roll out. Yeah, and you can kind of play around with it in loads of different ways. So if you want to make a huge load, you can double this recipe really easily. That's what I did. And then I made like loads of different types. So I've put this in the pictures in the newsletter. I can only share one picture with the podcast, but I made sumac, chili and sesame seed crackers, which are kind of like nutty, a bit sour and very, very gentle heat. I made Aleppo chili and oregano, so herby and kind of, Aleppo chili is very mild. So they just have that kind of red pepper like sweetness and a very tiny bit of heat. And I also tried to make panche foron, which was slightly less successful, unfortunately. But they tasted incredible. So what I would do with this, with the panche foron, my problem was that I added the sort of whole spices at last. And I didn't brush the bread with oil or the cracker with oil either. So they just weren't going to stick to it properly. Which is a shame because panche foron is so delicious. So I will have to make these again kind of properly. But I was kind of experimenting, trying some things out. So in terms of the ingredients for our base, we just want 200 grams of plain or all-purpose flour, half a teaspoon of fine salt, a teaspoon of sugar, 2 tablespoons of olive oil. You can use a different type of oil potentially if you prefer. About 80 grams or milliliters of water, a little bit more olive oil for rolling out and sticking things potentially, and also some flaky salt, which I do think is essential, because or some sort of salt, because I think crackers should be salty. And then I guess it depends what you're having it with, but yeah. And then in terms of flavor suggestions, I've suggested the following. So you could do 2 teaspoons of sumac, half a teaspoon of chili flakes, a tablespoon of sesame seeds. Or maybe you might want to try 2 teaspoons of Aleppo chili flakes, 2 teaspoons of dried oregano. Or you might want to try 1 teaspoon of fennel seeds, 1/2 teaspoon of chili flakes. Or you might want to try 1.5 tablespoons of panche foron. So panche foron is a kind of Bengali spice mix from northern India and for the state of Bengal in northern India and also in Bangladesh. And it's kind of equal parts of nigella seeds, mustard seeds, cumin seeds, fenugreek and fennel seeds. And all I do is I just measure out like 1 tablespoon of each or something, put it in a jar, and that's panche foron. You can, and by the way, I think more commonly in Bengali food, they use black cumin seeds in that particular spice mix. But if you can't find them, you can just use green. It's kind of fine, or brown. But that's panche foron, and it's just such a delightful mix of different kind of seed spices. I love it. And then the another alternative, you could do some grated Parmesan. I'd say around 3 tablespoons and some black pepper. That would be nice too. So to make our base, we're just going to mix together our flour, fine salt and sugar. If I was going to do the Panche Foron ones again, I would then mix those spices in here. Or if you want a really even distribution of spices, mix them in here, because they have a harder time mixing in at a later stage. And then measure out your water and oil in a little jug. Add that to the flour mixture. Maybe you want to be shy of a tablespoon shy to start with, and then see if you need the whole lot. See if you need a tiny bit more. All you're looking to do is just hydrate that dough so that it sticks together. And then we're going to rest it. And when it rests, it's going to further hydrate through the resting process. So you don't kind of want to add too much, because then it'll be wet. And just knead that together lightly to form a kind of ball. Now, if you haven't added your spices yet, you could add ground spices or dried herbs in here, and you might get quite a nice marbling effect, potentially, if you knead them in. That's something that I noticed when I made the sumac ones. And then you want to rest that dough for 15 minutes to allow the gluten to relax. Then you want to preheat your oven, 200°C, 400°F, 180°C fan. And then you roll out your dough onto a lightly oiled surface. I found this was more successful than floured because they got crispier, with a lightly oiled rolling pin to really, really thin, like an eighth of an inch, a quarter of a centimeter at the thickest, but you can go thinner. And then cut them into shapes. Mine were just all jaggedy and kind of rough. I did some square-ish, some triangle-ish things, but you could definitely be neater. You could cut them out with a cookie cutter. 100% support that decision if that's what you want to do. But I kind of just kept mine kind of rustic. And then you transfer those to a baking tray. Now, if you want to make crisp bread instead, you can use the same dough. All you're going to do that's different is the way that you roll it out. So I found it easier to roll it out directly onto a sheet of parchment or silpat, with a lightly oiled rolling pin, as thin as it can possibly go without ripping, to the full kind of size of the pan. And if you've got if your baking trays are on the smaller side, you might need to do two, and maybe cut the dough in half and then roll it out one by one. And then you transfer that, including the parchment and silpat, to a baking tray. And then once you've rolled it or cut it out, you want to just finish them off. So if you want to add spices or herbs at this stage, it works better with smaller ones like ground herbs or ground spices or dried herbs. It doesn't work as well with whole seeds. But you can brush the top with a light coating of olive oil, and then sort of sprinkle it on top. It did work quite well with sesame seeds because they are a bit on the small side, but I found with some of the bigger seeds, it wasn't quite as effective. And then if you want to add cheese, don't brush the top with oil because you don't need to. There's plenty of fat in the cheese, and just sprinkle the cheese over them. And then finally, especially if you're not using cheese, you want to sprinkle it generously with flaky salt. Because cheese is salty, you probably don't want to add loads of salt at that stage. Then all you're going to do is bake that for about 10 minutes, turn it about halfway through until it's crispy and brown at the edges. And play it by ear. You know, if you think it needs a tiny bit longer, you can always set a timer for 1 or 2 minutes. If you think it needs a bit less, I would check it, you know, 2/3 or 3/4 of the way through. Just see how it's doing. Or you can check it at the halfway mark, especially if you're turning it around, and just kind of make a judgment about how it's going. So that's crackers and crisp breads. It's super duper simple and easy. So I'm going to be talking now in the second kind of part of the podcast a little bit about some of the things that I've been eating recently. And then we'll talk about what's coming next. So I wanted to just invite you into my life a little bit and just talk about some things that I've been eating recently. So I have been doing a bit more eating out than usual. The cost is racking up a bit. But I have been doing some really nice things with my partner and with friends, which is really lovely. And we went also, so I went to Brighton with my partner. I went to Bristol with her. It was a while ago now, but not that long ago. And I've not really talked about it. And I've also just been eating some really good stuff around London. So I know that a lot of you do not live here. So bear with me. I hope you kind of find it interesting and you kind of learn even, or like are curious about it, even if you might not be able to try these things with me. And some of them you'll be able to find recipes online as well, I reckon. So I just wanted to maybe have a little chat about it. So I am moving jobs and I'm going to be working in a different part of London. So I'm trying to make the most of working around Bethnal Green, Shoreditch area. And I've been popping into some of my favourite places. So there's a place that opened last month called Yanula's, which is a Cypriot bakery. And they do a really good Greek salad with homemade kind of stuffed breads, which are called pita, but they're not maybe what you think of when you think of pita. Pita just means like round baked good, basically. It could also be a pie. But yeah, they're kind of like a bread stuffed with things like you could have spinach and feta or olives or all sorts of stuff. They're really nice. And they also do this dahi nopita, I think I'm saying that correctly, or no, dahi nopita, or dahi nopita, maybe. But it's a just sweet flaky tahini pastry that's a little bit spiced with cinnamon. So yeah, it's really like kind of not like a really sweet cookie. It's really interesting, like little treat. I really, really, really enjoyed it. And they're also huge. Which I approve of. And they're doing a rose ice cream now as well, which is nice. I've been going to Bagel Bake on Brick Lane, or Bagel Bake, and this is a 24-hour bakery, and they serve dense chewy bagels, which is what the sort of London Eastern European migrants to London, that's what they bake up here. And my favourite is of course their salt beef with mustard and pickles. But their European style cheesecake is also very good. And then I also really like to go to a place called Indian Masala on Bethnal Green Road, which is actually Bangladeshi. But obviously people know what you say, kind of know more about Indian food or have more familiarity with it. Plus, you know, it wasn't so long ago that they were part of the same country. And they do quite nice shingara. So shingara are a kind of chubbier, slightly thicker pastry type of samosa. Or there's some samosa adjacent. And they are often stuffed with spiced potatoes. And I really like them in a chat. So when this, you know, is a sort of snack food or street food where they chop up the, in this case, shingara, but it could be samosa, and then mix it with various other things. So it might be a bit of salad, some chickpeas, some tamarind sauce, yogurt. And this place adds a healthy amount of raw green chili, including the seeds. It's just a bit of a whirlwind of flavors and textures, and I really, really like it. To make it into a full lunch, I also will have another shinkara on the side, because I find it's not quite filling enough for me to just have chat. And then next door to that is a place called Ipalichi, which is very famous. It's been open since 1900, and it's kind of British and Italian comfort food. And so people go there for the full English breakfast. They go there for chicken escalope. They go there for things involving their insane ragu. So they do bolognese, spaghetti bolognese. They also do lasagna al forno. And they do like a sandwich. I think it's called the Big Bang ciabatta or something. And it's like ciabatta, chicken escalope, and then meat ragu. And cheese. It's so flipping good, but it's very filling and rich. I've had that on the one occasion when I was really hungry. And then because of their generous portions, I don't usually have any room for dessert. Sometimes I might be able to fit in an affogato, you know, ice cream with espresso. But they do have really good dessert offering. They have authentic gelato, they have tiramisu, they also have classic British puddings, like things like jam roly-poly sometimes, and it varies day to day, so you have to sort of see what they've got when you get there. So yeah, I've been just really enjoying the area in which I work, and I've been really enjoying the area in which I live, or nearby, just slightly further south than me, is an area called Haringey. And it's sort of very well known for Turkish food and Turkish Cypriot food and Kurdish food, a little bit of Greek here and there, but you get more Greek further up, further north, generally speaking. And there's kind of some quite upmarket kind of grill restaurants or ojak basi restaurants. So people have their own favorites, but three that people tend to consistently say are good are Hala Gökyüzü. I don't know how to say it, I'm afraid, and Anteplila. They're all really well liked. But there are also kind of more specialist places. So those places tend to do like a solid range of different things that are all good, but then there's places that will specialize in one or two dishes more. So there's a place called Haringey Jorbagisi, which I absolutely love. It's a soup and stew restaurant. Everything is so good, but I had never had yogurt soup before, and it was incredible. I thought it might be heavy, too rich, but it was actually light, tangy, refreshing. It was really good. Really, really good. And they always serve everything with like carbs. So my soup came with, I think it was bulgur wheat. I had a lamb and bean stew, or it might have been rice. But also you get salad, you get pickles, you get olives, you get bread, and you get dips. Just like zhajik or tzatziki. Hummus, a sort of chili tomato thing. You just get those as standard. It's just, I love it so much. So I went there recently. I also went recently to a place with my friend Andy called Gejlima House, where they obviously specialize in gejlima, which is a stuffed, enriched fat flatbread cooked with a bit of oil. So it's quite crispy, and but then because it's stuffed, it's also got that soft texture inside. And you can get it stuffed with meat, potato, cheese, spinach, all sorts of stuff, halloumi or halim. Really, really good. And it's nice just out of a bag, which is usually how I eat it on the go. But it's even better if you can go to a place like Gejlima House and have it with the accompaniments. You know, it's quite a rich dish, so they serve it with pickles, which are house made, and they are so good. And they serve it with salad. Oh, just great. And then another place that I went to was Anteplila Kunafa, or Anteplila Kunafa. I think that's my probably the best you're going to get from me, pronunciation wise. And they serve up my favorite dessert, kanafa, with strong Turkish tea if you want it. And it's a stretchy cheese wrapped in fried shredded pastry, soaked in rosewater syrup, and then finished with finely chopped pistachios and usually kaimak or kaimak, which is kind of like clotted cream. And for me, this is my favorite dessert and a perfect food because it's kind of got so much going on. Texturally and flavor wise, it's just incredible. You know, it's kind of funky from the cheese, it's sweet, it's floral, it's nutty, it's crunchy, it's creamy. I just absolutely love it. So yeah, that's my little tour of Haringey. And then in addition to that, other places in North London that I've been to recently. So I went to Alexandra Park, where there was they were celebrating 150 years of Alexandra Palace, which is a kind of event space, I guess, is the best way I can describe it. Very near me. And they have things like the World Tattoo Convention, the World Darts Championships. They have concerts and gigs. They have makers markets sometimes, like it's a whole load of different things. So they were celebrating 150 years of that place existing, and they had various food stalls, and probably the best thing we ate was Hungarian langos, or I don't know how to say it, I'm afraid it might be langos, but it was so good. It's like a fluffy bread that is then fried, deep fried, and so it's like crispy and soft inside, crispy on the outside, soft inside, and golden brown, and then it's topped with sour cream. This is the traditional topping, which I preferred: sour cream, garlic, a bit of cheese, and chili. So unbelievably good. Like, obviously you don't want to eat that every day. It's not a health food, but as a little occasional treat, unreal. So good. Somewhere else that I went to recently was Dilara. I went there with my friend Rita. It's a Uyghur restaurant. And so, as you probably know, the Uyghurs are kind of, they've become, unfortunately, like well known globally because of the persecution and ethnocide of the Chinese state against them. It's horrific. And they have a really rich culture, vibrant food ways. And so I really, really enjoyed the food at Dilara. So it had some kind of similarities with other food that I've had from the Xinjiang region, you know, things like hand pulled wheat noodles, spicy smashed cucumbers, but it also had some key differences. There was more influence from the west, not west, but from further west, like places like, you know, northern India, Turkey. They are ethnically Turkish and speak a Turkish language, not the same as Turkish. And so maybe that's why, you know, there's kind of like trade links and culture and religious shared history going back a long time. But yeah, so they had things like these enormous skewers of kebab, which were lamb, like huge kebab skewers. They had a fried stuffed flatbread called a samsa, which obviously sounds a bit like samosa, so I'm presuming it's the same root word. But it was like stuff with lamb. There's a lot of lamb because they're not knit there. It's very inland. So there's a lot of vegetables and herbs, but not really much fish or shellfish. Kind of suits me because I'm allergic to shellfish, honestly. So the samsa looked insane. I didn't get to try it, but it looked incredible. And they also have something called polo, which is like a celebratory rice dish, a bit like a palau or a pilaf. We had manti, which were herby beef dumplings. You can get different stuff, you can stuff it with different things, but that's the version of mantie we had. And we had big plate chicken. I've had big plate chicken before in a Xinjiang restaurant in South London called Silk Road, which is very, very good. But this one is a bit different. So it had a different range of spices. It had quite predominant flavor of anise because it had star anise in it, cinnamon and cloves. So it was kind of like slightly sweet, but also obviously mostly savory. Quite a lot of black peppercorns in it as well. It was just really, really good. And I want to go back. I'm going to maybe take a friend there. And next time I want to try a couple of other things, or potentially at some point go with a bigger group so that we can try more dishes and share them around. So that was my experience at Dilara. There's also another restaurant that I would like to go to that's also Uyghur called Etlas. So I'll let you know if I go to that one at some point. And so that's all of the things I wanted to talk about in terms of London. And then we, as I said, we went on a day trip to Brighton, which is a seaside town, if you're not familiar, and a very popular seaside town, which is also quite well known for having a big queer community. And we had some really delicious things to eat. We had excellent ice cream at an award-winning gelateria called Boho Gelato. I had mint choc chip. Gemma had fig and honey. Both were good. We also had a falafel and baba ganoush wrap, which was simple but very good. And especially the lavash was excellent. It wasn't as dry as I sometimes find lavash. And that was on North Street. They have a couple of branches though in Brighton. And for supper, we had a sharing platter at Sia in Shelter Hall, which is like a food hall thing. Like a posh food hall, basically. And so on that platter, we had steak, pastrami, and pulled chicken. And I liked the different accompaniments they served with it. So, you know, with the pastrami, there was pickles. With the chicken, there was some pickled red onions. So it kind of, everything kind of went really well together. The slaw was boring. I was like, you're giving all this love to the meat, but this coleslaw is a bit one note. But other than that, it was really, really good. And as you can tell, I'm definitely not vegetarian anymore. But I do kind of eat vegetarian 90 to 95% of the time. It's just meals out don't tend to be, especially. And as I said a little while ago, we went to Bristol, which I'd never been to before, which is a kind of city in the southwest of England, which is quite like trendy, I guess, especially the Stokescroft area where we hung out quite a lot. And I went to, first of all, the best bakery I've ever been to, just putting that out there. And I'm somebody who's obviously, you know, I don't think anyone travels as much as they'd like to unless you're really, really rich. But I have been several times to France, Italy, you know, including Paris a few times. France, Italy, Spain, Slovenia, Sweden, Denmark. I don't know. I've been very briefly to North America. But what my point is that I've eaten at a lot of different bakeries. I've lived in London as well for 11 years, which has some extremely good ones. And this is still the best bakery I've ever been to. Like, you could sort of taste their passion and pursuit of perfection in the food. Everything was just of such a high standard. They had really great pasta ostinata, really great cannelle, really great breakfast buns, loads of different types. They kind of specialize in viennoiserie, you know, pastries, sort of breakfast pastries, but everything was good. We were too early. It wasn't really like summery enough. So we didn't get any soft serve, which I was disappointed about. So I'd have to go back in summer if I want to do that. Soft serve ice cream. But yeah, everything we had was impeccable. We also ate at this really quite small, no frills restaurant called Bockman. But it's smaller, no frills, but the amount of care that is in the food, everything is just sublime. Like, we had banchan, which was a selection of small plates, including things like things that they had, meats that they dried themselves or cured themselves, fermented vegetables, some things involving nuts. And all of those were just so unbelievably good. We also had some really fat dumplings and some tongdak, which is like rotisserie chicken stuffed with short grain rice, like sticky rice, and served with sauces and sides. Just really, like, really good. I can't believe how much they're doing in such a tiny kitchen. It's unreal. And we just really had a great time. We also went to Bristol Lido, or Lido. Apparently that's how you say it, but I know everyone I know says Lido, which a Lido, if you're not familiar, is like a swimming pool, basically. And this is like a little swimming pool in the middle of Bristol. So it's like on a little side street, but like you're kind of like surrounded by houses. It's really interesting. And it has a steam room and a sauna. Plus it has an award-winning bar and restaurant. So we went for the swim and dine package. Gemma treated us to it. And it was kind of modern European food, so not actually typically my favourite, because I find it's a bit overdone, a bit dull sometimes. But everything was undeniably good here. So even I was like converted, because modern European can be good. It's just mostly done badly, but it can be done well. And it's just the way that they use seasonal ingredients. They treated it all with care and love. It's a really interesting balance of different flavors and textures in every dish. So yeah, it was really, really good. And then finally, we went somewhere a little bit less kind of pricey, a place called The Coconut Tree, which is a Sri Lankan restaurant in Bristol. And it wasn't quite as like every dish is a banger as some of the other places I went to, but it was really good. I was in love with the cashew nut curry and the pineapple curry. I was in love with those. So as soon as I got home, I was like, when am I going to cook them? And I have now cooked them at home. So I'm very proud of that. And I'm just really enjoying cooking and eating Sri Lankan food at the moment. It shares some similarities with Indian food, especially South Indian food. It also, you know, some Sri Lankans are from an ethnic group that is also in South India as well, Tamils. But it does have some key differences. It's very tropical. It's very fresh. There's a lot of coconut. There's a lot of curry leaves. There's a lot of pandan leaves. It's really vibrant. And I find as well that the vegetarian curries are quite quick to cook. So really quite kind of weeknight meal friendly, or my style of casual cooking friendly. So those are some places that I've eaten out recently. Hope you enjoyed this segment. Let me know what you're thinking of the podcast at the moment, and what things you're enjoying, what things you're not, what you want to see more of, what you want to see less of. Just feel free to drop me an email. It's flourbuttereggsugar@gmail.com. Been having quite a rough time recently, actually. So just struggling really to, like, I don't know, feel good about myself, I guess, and stay positive. So yeah, when I sort of struggling a little bit with my mental health. So yeah, any kind of messages are appreciated. Not trying to guilt you into it, but I'm just saying, like, if you want to drop me a message, it would be a nice boost to me, really. But yeah, I hope that you are doing well where you are. And I hope that you're enjoying baking or cooking at the moment. And I just want to just chat briefly next about what is coming up in future episodes. Okay, my lovelies. So next time, we are going to talk about pavlova, simply because I am really interested into using the seasonal fruit that we've got at the moment. If you're in the Southern Hem, I apologize, but hopefully there's something in season that you could use. Or you can use like frozen fruit potentially, or tinned fruit. But yeah, we're going to be talking about pavlovas, and yeah, I'm really looking forward to doing that. I don't think I've ever made one, and I've been baking for 20 years, so that's something that I can't wait to talk to you about. And then there's loads coming up, but I'm not sure exactly what order things are going to be in yet and stuff like that, so I'll just kind of let you know yeah, in due course. And do follow us on Instagram if you haven't already. It's @homebakingpod. And I just look forward to talking to you in 2 weeks. All right, take care. Bye. I have a very quick little Instagram recommendation for you if you're on that app. So I recently started following Holly Haynes, and her handle is just It's Holly, ITSHOLLY. And she's a bit of an evil genius. Like, so my favorite thing is when she posts stories that are like, I just want to see something. And then she'll do something that sounds really wild, but it works. So for example, recently she made chocolate chip cookies, and then she sprinkled salted dried deep fried anchovies on top, so that's got and genuinely, like, unless it tastes very, very fishy, it's really not that different, is it, from adding miso or I don't know, bacon that some people have added to stuff like this. So weird, yes. Makes sense, also yes. Something else that I saw her post was a roasted strawberry focaccia, which looks insanely good. And she just has a lot of interesting ideas. I just really enjoy following her. So check her out. Okay, all right, well, I will see you in a fortnight. All right, my lovers, bye.